Thank you, Lord. I'm glad that He is our help. Amen. He is our help. The psalmist even said that He is a very present help in our time of need, that not even our need can hinder Him from being our help. Not even our circumstances can hinder Him from being our source of peace, our source of help, our source of life. I'm thankful for the goodness of God tonight, appreciative of how He's met with us, thankful for how He's moved in every service. I know last night I had felt the Lord had laid some things directly on my heart, and I truly am trusting that what God did around this place was not just for last night, but for the days to come. Amen. I really believe that God intends to not for us to stay in that place, but God fully intends for us to move on into new seasons and to new moves of God and to new things. Amen. Would you agree with that tonight? That God, when He begins to speak to us, does not intend for us to go back, but it is His intention for us to go forward. Amen. God is not a God of circles. He's a God of progress. He's a God of movement. He's a God of moving forward. He pauses us at seasons to teach us lessons, to move in certain ways, but then He moves us forward. Amen. He moves us forward, and I feel like, amen, not because I preached it, but just because of the witness of the Holy Ghost. Last night, God was reminding us He wants us to move. He wants us to move forward. Amen. 2 Kings tonight, chapter number 5. 2 Kings chapter number 5. There's a little bit of reading I feel to do tonight, so if you don't feel to stand, that'll be all right. I just have a little bit of reading. If you want to, that's fine. I have about 15 verses I'm going to read to us tonight. I don't want to belabor us in the reading, but I feel like the Lord wants me to cover a certain story. I do want to say as you're turning, thank you for everything that has been done. Thank you for the accommodations, the wonderful meals, the great time of fellowship that has been provided. And I am constantly reminded of just how thankful I am to be a part of the kingdom of God. Amen. And this week has been no different. And thank you for every kind word that has been spoken, for every prayer that my name has been mentioned in. I appreciate it. And I'm believing God's going to help us tonight. Amen. 2 Kings chapter number 5, beginning in verse number 1. Also Hebrews chapter 11. Forgot to mention that. 2 Kings chapter 5 and Hebrews chapter number 11. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Israel said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have sent therewith I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore Hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses, with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Notice verse 11 with me tonight, if you would. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May not I wash in them and be clean? And so he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near, spake unto him, and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest not thou have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. We're going to flip to Hebrews chapter 11 and read one verse, but I would like for you to notice 3 words in verse number 11. He said, Behold, I thought. Behold, I thought. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. He that cometh to God must believe. If the Lord will help me for a little while tonight, I'd like to preach this thought. Blank page miracles. Blank page miracles. Amen. Let's pray and ask the Lord to anoint and to have his way here tonight. Lord, we love you. God, I magnify you. Lord, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness unto us, anointing me to preach and anointing this congregation to hear and to receive the word of God. Lord, I'm asking for a little while tonight that you would hide me behind the cross, anoint me to preach. God, strengthen this body again to relay the word of God. I'm asking, Lord, that you would guide us and direct us in the Holy Ghost. I pray, Lord, let the liberty of your Spirit be made known unto us. May the liberty and the, oh, hallelujah, the freedom of the Holy Ghost be in this place tonight. Let there be nothing in me that would hinder the anointing, but in every way let your will be done, and we'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for it all. In Jesus' name we ask. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your mercies and your grace tonight. Hallelujah. Blank page miracles. The beginning of 2 Kings covers a very important and very pivotal time within the nation of Israel. For as you read the opening chapters of this book, you quickly come to the understanding that this is a time of change. All of our lives will go through seasons of ups and downs, I understand, but all of our journeys with the Lord and all of our walks with God will at time go through seasons of change. Seasons where things look different than they did before. Amen. In chapter 1, one king dies and a new king comes to reign in his stead. And then in chapter 2, the story is found of Elijah being taken up into heaven by the whirlwind of fire, by the chariot and the horses of fire that come down. We understand the story tonight. I won't get into it all the way because there's a lot of good preaching there in the story of Elijah and Elisha. But if you notice, we read the story of Elijah and Elisha in just a few chapters, and it doesn't take us much time at all to get from 1 Kings chapter 17 to 2 Kings chapter 2 when Elijah is introduced and Elijah is taken away. But if you study it out, most scholars and most historians and different ones feel, commentators agree that it is estimated that Elijah was recognized as the prophet of Israel for 30 years. When Elijah is taken away, this isn't like, well, he popped up on the scene and then he disappeared and no more. Elijah has been the voice of God for estimated at least 3 decades in the nation of Israel. So when Elijah leaves, it's a big moment. When Elijah leaves, it's a big deal. Brother Tom, when Elijah is taken up to heaven, there's now a glaring, gaping absence. There's a void now in the nation of Israel. Amen. Who's going to be the voice of God? Who's going to be the voice of prophecy? And God, as he always does, had a man. Hallelujah. He had somebody that was there and ready to be used, ready to be anointed, ready to take up the mantle, ready to continue the work of God. Amen. Now with Elijah's mantle on his shoulders and a double portion of his anointing, the young man Elisha steps into the role of being the next prophet of the nation of Israel. Amen. Can I tell us tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that if in fact in these last days God is calling us into higher places, if in fact God is calling us to deeper revelation in the Spirit, amen, if in fact there is a last day outpouring of the Holy Ghost, then what I had in yesteryear will not be sufficient enough to guide me in the days to come. Amen. I cannot live on yesterday's outpouring for tomorrow's miracles, but we need a fresh outpouring and a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost in these last days. Amen. We need a fresh outpouring and a fresh visitation and a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost in these last days. Elisha said, I'm thankful that it worked for Elijah. I'm thankful that it did what Elijah needed it to do. But if I'm going to be able to do the will of God, I need a double portion. Hallelujah. I need something more than I've ever had. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to look far to realize we're living in a wicked world. You don't have to look very far to realize we're living in a wicked generation. And I thank God for the memory of what was. But I cannot live in today on the touch of years gone by. But I need a fresh touch of the Spirit of God in my soul in these days. Amen. Miracles are taking place. Signs and wonders are now following the ministry of Elisha. And all of a sudden, the Bible just stops talking about Elisha and zooms in a different land. It leaves the nation altogether. Just from chapter 4, there's miracles. Chapter 5 says, now Naaman. Naaman is not a king of Israel. He is not a priest. He is not a Levite. He is not another prophet. Naaman is Assyrian. Naaman is in the armies of the enemy. Amen. Naaman, by all accounts, has a lot going for him. Brother Shane, in our text tonight, what we read, Naaman, by all accounts, is living a pretty good life. Let's look at it. Our text tonight said he's the captain of the king's host. He's a great man with the king, and he is honorable. And it even goes on to say that by him the Lord had given deliverance unto his nation. The Bible then calls him a mighty man in valor. Naaman don't sound like a bad guy at all. He's got a lot going for him. He's friends with the king. He's mighty in war. He's a man of strength. But the Bible tells us he's got a problem. He is a leper. It's amazing to me that sometimes we can have everything going for us, and one thing can make all the difference. He's got all of life going for him, but this one thing is about to wreck everything else. Sometimes, amen, in our walk with God, we will go through life, and man, it seems like life is going pretty good. God has blessed us. God has been with us. And then that one thing tries to derail, amen, everything that God has intended to do. Leprosy is a very serious thing. You can begin to study into it. I won't get into all of it tonight. But I found in one place they say that it is a very slow-growing infection in most cases, with symptoms typically appearing an average of 5 years after its exposure. Amen. Though it can range from 6 months to 20 years before you realize that you even have the sickness called leprosy. But once you realize you have it, it gets bad quickly. Once it gets to a place that you know that it is there, it is characterized in the Word of God by nodules and white spots deeper than the skin. And then what Leviticus calls risings begin to appear. And then the flesh begins to rot. And then it's been noted, and scholars would agree, that in the camp of the unclean, of the lepers, they would be missing their ears and noses and hands and feet. Their flesh would literally begin to rot off of them. And I do not know where Naaman is at in this process. The Bible doesn't tell us how long he has been sick. It does not tell us how severe of a case that he now has. But reading between the lines, if that's all right, we begin to piece together he is in a place of desperation. Can you prove that? I sure enough can. A Syrian warrior is about to go beg help from an Israeli king. He's desperate. A Syrian warrior is about to get 10,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment, and talents of silver, and go beg mercy from a king he's been warring. That's desperate. Desperation, ladies and gentlemen, will change the way we act. You can tell me all night you want a move of God, but if we do not get desperate for it, we'll never do anything different. Amen. If we do not get but desperate people do desperate things. Amen. And so he began to reach a place where something has to change. Amen. Let me side note for a moment. I'll come back to the message if that's all right. If blind Bartimaeus doesn't do something different than normal, he dies a blind man. If the woman with the issue of blood just sits in her house and waits for Jesus to kick in her door and tell her, "You're healed," she's going to die with her issue. But when they got desperate enough to do something, Jesus was willing to help them. Hallelujah. When they got desperate enough to reach out to him where he was, then he healed them of their infirmity. Amen. And here in our text tonight, we find something I would call miraculous. For in our reading, the Bible lets us know that the Syrians had gone out in a time of war and had captured a little Israeli girl. Now, I read in study that some people feel like that she had maybe have been captured before Naaman ever knew he was sick. Imagine that. God already put the answer in his house before he ever knew he had the problem. It amazes me how God works. Hallelujah. It amazes me how God is already thinking ahead. When I see today for today, when I don't know what tomorrow holds, God is already in tomorrow. Hallelujah. When all I can see is the here and now, God already sees the future. And before his flesh ever began to rot, and before someone said, Naaman, you might have a problem, before Naaman ever felt sick for the first day, God was already working. Hallelujah. I come to tell us, ladies and gentlemen, before we ever came to where we are in our lives tonight, God was already putting the pieces together. God was already working things together. I'm glad that he doesn't just work today, but he'll go ahead of us. Hallelujah. I said he'll go out in front of us. He'll go ahead and put things together that we don't even know that he's doing. He'll go ahead and begin to bind, my God, hallelujah, before I ever get to the valley. He's already in the valley. Before I ever get in the storm, he's already been in the storm. Before I ever have to climb the mountain, he's already been to the mountain. He goes ahead of us, church, and he works on our behalf. Amen. Hallelujah. God had already placed the answer within his house. And so he's sick. And the young girl said, well, if he could just get to the prophet, he could find his healing. If he could just make it to the land of Israel, he could find a healing for his body. And so he goes to the king. And the king said, it's a great idea. I'll write a letter. I'll send you there. Get the gifts together. Get the talents of silver. Get the pieces of gold. Get the changes of raiment. We're about to send you to the king of Israel. And here comes the moment. He comes to the king. King said, I can't help you. Who do you think I am? God? Amen. I'm not God. I can't heal your body. I can't turn this thing around. The king rends his clothes. And the man of God gets wind of what's going on, and finally the moment comes. We've gone through all of these verses and all of these moments, and the man Naaman comes to the door of the man of God. This is the crescendo moment. This is where it all goes down. There's about to be this big superhero type moment. The man of God's about to walk out, slap him on top of the head. The leprosy's going to be gone. Everyone's going to dance around and shout, however they did it back then. You know, it's my Pentecostal imagination. Everybody's going to rejoice. Everybody's going to be happy. Naaman's going to go home riding high in his chariot. He's going to go back to being a great man. And as one of his servants comes and knocks on the door, and Naaman said, this is it. And the man of God never shows up. Think about it for a moment. A man of pomp and of splendor, mighty in valor, close to the king. He's got 10,000 pieces of gold in one of them chariots. And a man of God never even shows up. There's a few reasons. Perhaps the man of God was keeping the tradition of the law. There's a few different things that we could delve into there. But notice with me what happens next. Elisha sends his servant and said, go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. There is a guarantee from the man of God. If you will do this, you shall be healed. And now, is that not why he's there? Is Naaman not there for healing? He's not there for a movie scene. He's not there for pomp and splendor. He's not there for the crescendo moment. After all is said and done, Naaman is only there to be healed. Yet now he's guaranteed a healing, and he don't like it. He's guaranteed a healing. I don't like it. I think the Naaman spirit gets on a lot of us sometimes if we're not careful. You think about it for a moment. This is where the Lord has led me. And I'll try to preach more user-friendly, I guess, than last night, if that'll be all right. And man, we'll cover the story, Lord willing, and we'll pray. But these three words begin to stick out to me. Behold, I thought. It was supposed to go a certain way in my mind. When I thought of how God was going to move, how God was going to heal me, I thought it was going to come in a certain format and in a certain way. Now remember, before we become too critical of him tonight, a little bit of time has passed. Naaman first heard of the prophet, then he had to go to the king, then he had to get everything together, then he had to go from one country to another, then he had to go from the king to the man of God. There's been a little bit of time has passed since we first read about his healing to where he shows up and knocks on the door of the man of God. And somewhere in the waiting, he began to think about it. He began to imagine the moment that he would be healed. He began to picture it in his mind. He began to think, this is how God is going to do it. Amen. I understand God was working on his pride, but I believe there's much more in this story than just that. For you see, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, I believe with all of my heart that God has big plans for every single one of us in here tonight. I believe the Word of God clearly states that in the last days, God has big plans for His church and big plans for His people. But just because we've been assured that He's got a plan doesn't mean he ever gives us all the wins, where's and how's. Just because I know he has a plan doesn't mean he gives me the script of how it all goes down. Hallelujah. And when we are seriously invested, when we are serious about the things of God, can I say this and everyone still love me after church? Is this all right? When we don't just show up and pinpoint all the things we don't like and go home, when we are seriously involved with the things of God, it becomes easy sometimes, Brother Wesley. When I'm preparing for His promises, when I'm expecting miracles, when I'm waiting on what I've heard to become a reality, hallelujah, when I'm waiting on the things that I've been praying about to come to pass in my life, ladies and gentlemen, for every single one of us, me included, it becomes easy to get like Naaman. When I'm waiting on him to do something, but I don't know how he's going to do it, it becomes easy to start imagining, well, it's going to happen this way. You ever done it before? I have. I'll be honest with you tonight. When I know, Brother Tom, the promises of God in my life and in our church, but yet it's been a little while and I don't see how he's going to do it. It gets easy sometimes to get in our own minds and to get in our, oh, it's easy to throw the stone at Naaman. But I've sat in that chariot a time or two myself. It's easy to throw the stone at him because he didn't want to go dip in the old muddy water. But I've sat in that seat a time or two where I said, God, if you were going to do it, then I thought you were going to do it this way. If you were going to do it, then I think this way works out a little better. Hallelujah. I think we've all done it at some times in our life because it is natural to begin to think. There is nothing wrong with pondering our path. There is nothing wrong with pondering the trail that we are walking. But when God begins to make promises unto us, we cannot get to a place where we forfeit the promises of God because it doesn't line up with what I think. Amen. If God gives us a promise, I dare say tonight that our minds will never be able to fully figure it out. Can you prove that in Scripture? Yes, I can. Isaiah chapter 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord, And my ways are not your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my God, and my thoughts are higher than yours. How many millions upon millions of miles is that that's in the heavens compared to that that's in the earth? The sun, the moon, and the stars, tens of millions of miles away from the surface. But yet he said, my thoughts are even further away than that. My ways are even further different than your way. When God begins to do something in my life, my little mind will never fully figure out his plan, because it's just too big. It's just too wonderful. It's just too intricate for my mind to ever fully figure it out. If God's plan in my life is only as big as my mind, I limit him to a very small plan. Hallelujah. If God's plan in our church is only as big as what we can figure out, God doesn't have a very big plan for our church. But God's plan is bigger than my plans. Oh, hallelujah. God's thoughts are much higher than my thoughts. God's ways are much beyond my understanding. The Bible said that his ways are beyond our understanding and beyond our finding out. Ladies and gentlemen, serving God isn't about his blessing and my way. It's about his way, hallelujah, his way above everything else. It isn't about his green light on my plans, but it's about giving up my own way and my own will and following after him. Ladies and gentlemen, Naaman almost missed his healing because it didn't match up with what he thought. Here's the thing, though, about Naaman. If he goes home, can I just put it as blunt as somebody from Georgia can say it? He's a dead man. If he goes home, he's a dead man walking. Because there is no cure for his disease. And he about accepted his own death because it didn't line up with his imagination. Sometimes we'll accept even our own harm because we want it to go our way. Hallelujah. And this is where the title of my message comes into play. For you see, God did not need Naaman to show him the way. He didn't need Naaman to get on a scissor lift to heaven and say, all right, God, this is the plan. We're going to go right over here. You're going to reach down right there. And this is it. X marks the spot. Naaman's healed. I'll go back now. That's not what God needed. God did not need him to draw a diagram and send it on the wings of the angels and say, all right, dear God, this is Naaman. This is the plan for my healing. Let's do this thing. No, that's not what he needed at all. He needed Naaman to humble himself enough to just be obedient. Hallelujah. He needed Naaman to say, all right, God, you know more than I know. You know better than I do. And I'm just going to do it your way, even when it doesn't make sense to me. Even when it's not the way I would have went. It's not the route I would have chose. If it's your way, I choose your way over mine. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done.
Oh, yes. Amen.
Amen. He did not need Naaman to give him his own thoughts and opinions, but he needed Naaman to discard his own thoughts and obey him. Can I remind us tonight that God already has it all figured out? If he can create the entire world in just 6 days, he's already got my situation figured out. Hallelujah. My Lord, I feel his presence in here tonight again. If he can speak And what's taken us thousands of years to study and still don't know the half of it. If he could speak and it all becoming a thing, oh, how much more does he know where I'm at? How much more does he know how to fix my problem? How much more does he have the answer to my questions? How much more does he have the solution to my situation? Amen. And I believe tonight that God has big plans for you and I. I believe tonight that God has big plans for this church, big plans for his people. But we cannot get in the way and say, oh no, this is the way I think it. Oh no, I've got to say, Lord, enough with my way, enough with my thoughts, enough with my opinions, and let your will be done in us, oh God. Blank page miracles. One night, sitting at my desk back home, I was in study. Where I got the title for this message was I had a blank piece of paper sitting beside me on my desk. I was studying on my tablet and had Bibles open. Had a blank piece just in case I had a thought I wanted to scribble down for some reason. And the more I looked at that thing, the more it started sticking out to me. And off of that, this thought began to build. For you see, in our present world, we don't really get much value from blank pages. If I was to read a book tonight, I don't want to open it and see this. If I would have said, turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5, and it would have only looked like this, there wouldn't have been much value in it. If we was to open our songbooks and we were to flip through and it was just nothing after nothing, page 300 and nothing, we wouldn't sing any songs. There would be not a lot of value. We get our value off of what's written on the page. We get our value off of what we read. We collect from that which has been put down on the, but God sees our lives a little differently than we see our lives. For you see, while we find value in what's written on it, God finds value when we leave him our empty pages. Hallelujah. Because the age-old problem with man is we feel like we have to write our own story. I've got to have it all figured out. I've got to have chapter 1 figured out. And chapter 2, if I can write it all down. And when I present it to the Lord, if I can have everything figured out. This is the way it's supposed to go. This is what's supposed to happen next. This is the way it's supposed to be alive. But sometimes when God begins to move, his story doesn't match my story. Sometimes the way when God begins to do things, what he has, that's exactly what Naaman did. Behold, I thought I already had it written out. I already had the story in mind. I already had the paper full. What do you mean, God? You're not going to do it that way. What do you mean, God? You got a different plan. I've come to tell you tonight, while we might find value on everything that has been written, God finds greater value when I bring him nothing but empty pages and I say, Lord, write it your way. Do it your way. My God, got it your way. Let the next season of my life be done your way. Let the next season of our church be done your way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. For you see, if we were to look back tonight, if we were to look back on our lives, how different would our lives look right now if we had done everything our way? Personally speaking, I can almost guarantee you I wouldn't be standing here tonight. For you see, if I had my way, I got out of high school, I already knew which career I was going to. I was going to be a fireman. That was my goal. That's what I was going to be. In the weeks leading up to graduating high school, I had already looked at the application to go to the academy. That was going to be my life. But then the ministry, I was already a preacher in high school, then the ministry began to open up and people began to say, hey, would you come preach this youth conference, or would you come do this, or preach this weekend or this revival? And I got to a place where I finally one day in prayer had to look at my path in life and the call of God. And I finally reached a place. Some do it, I understand. I know pastors and preachers that work in those fields. But as for my life and my schedule, it got to a place I had to reach a decision. I cannot do both at the same time. My way would have went one direction and God's way would have went another. But if I would have went with my way, I can almost guarantee you, I doubt I would be standing here on this Thursday night. But when I look back at all that I've seen God do, when I look back at all the goodness of the Lord, I'm glad it was His way. I said, I'm glad I went with His way. How many times in your life could life be much different than tonight had you went with your way? But when I look back at the goodness of God, I'm glad it was your way. I'm glad it went a different way than what I thought was best.
Oh, yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Blank pages. For when I bring Him my nothing, I give Him the space to do everything. The blank page does not represent our inability. It does not represent our lack of trying or effort. But a spiritual blank page on the desk of God represents my surrender. Hallelujah. When I hand Him my life, I hand Him the chapters of my life, and I say, God, I don't know what the next chapter looks like, but You are the author. Hallelujah. My life may be the story, but You're the only one holding the pen. Have Your way in me, oh God. He doesn't need me to write down all the ways I think it should work. He doesn't need me to write out all the direction I think I should go. But what He needs me to do is just believe Him, just obey Him, just surrender everything unto Him.
Hallelujah.
Here we find our second text tonight. Now faith, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And without faith, it is impossible. How many wants to be pleasing to God tonight? Without a belief that He knows better, I cannot please Him. If Naaman goes home and Naaman said, forget that prophet, Naaman does not please God. But if Naaman will let God write the next part of his story, it may take him to muddy water, but it'll bring him out a brand new man.
Yeah, that's right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lamb of God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Child of God, can I remind you tonight that when you give God the pages of your story, when you give God control over the narrative of your life, He is not going to write us into defeat. He is not going to write us into bondage. But He is a rewarder. Hallelujah. He is someone that the reward is always greater than the sacrifice. He is a God that the blessing is always greater than the payment. He said if we would believe, if we would put our faith in Him, He would reward them that diligently seek Him. Can I remind this church tonight, it pays to let Him be the author. It pays in the long run to let Him be the one that writes the story. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. I said it pays. There may be some chapters we didn't see coming. There may be some parts of the story we'd rather him leave out. But at the end of the day, we're not going to go down in defeat. We're not going to go up in a smoke. But we are going to win in the end because he's the one that writes the story. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Now you just have to know how my mind works. I begin to look at these different words. What did Naaman say? Behold, I thought. The word doubting in the Greek of the New Testament is used 14 different times. Do you know what 9 times that word translates to in the New Testament? Thoughts. Without wrath and without my own thoughts. That I would pray with faith and not my own way in mind. My Lord. Sometimes we come to God and say, Lord, have your way. And we've already got the whole story played out in our head. Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost in here tonight. Have your way in our church, God, as long as you do it like this. Let our church grow, God, and let it be full of the Spirit as long as it happens like this. I said, I can only do so much if you've got all the space on the paper already taken up. But if you'll give me a blank page, I can do something with that. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. If Abundant Life Tabernacle writes its own story, God doesn't have room to work. But if this church would hand God a blank page and say, all right, God, here's the future of our church. Here's everyone involved. Have your will and way. God says, I can use that. I can do my own, my God, hallelujah. I can do whatever I feel like doing, my God. Because ladies and gentlemen, Christianity is not about me getting my way and him doing what I don't want to do. But Christianity is about my way being left at the altar and my way being left in the prayer closet and his way being lived out in our lives. Yes, sir. We've just got to be willing to leave our question marks and our unknowns in his hands and watch him work blank page miracles. For you see, and I'm closing, he is the one who created the world out of nothing. If he can create the entire world out of nothing, what could he create in me if I gave him a blank page? He looked at a blank world, it was void, and said, let there be light, let there be land, let there be a firmament, let there be beasts in the field and fowls in the air. He looked at nothing. Let there be. Imagine what he could do in us. Here's my life, God. Do with it what you'd like. Here's our church, God. Do whatever you want to do. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to figure it all out. You don't have to try to worry yourself to death and wonder if you can figure it out in your own power. But it's time to bring that thing that's beyond your understanding to the one who understands it. And it's time to let him do what he might, God. It's time to lay all your worries, your cares, and your problems in his hands. It's time to say, Lord, you can have it all. Move how you want to move. Do what you want to do. I'm not going to try to put my hands on the controls. I'm not going to mess it up and try to figure it out. But I'm going to trust you with it. I'm going to believe you for it. And I'm going to watch what you will do. Oh, hallelujah. According to Romans chapter 4 verse 17. God calls those things which are not as though they were. You know what that tells me tonight? That when all I see is a blank page, He already sees the story. He calls those things which are not as though they already were. My God, why do you think Elijah could believe for rain when his servant said, "There is nothing"? Because while a man saw nothing, God already saw the outpouring. Hallelujah. I don't have to fill in the blanks. I don't have to assign my name to the cover of this story. For the Bible says these words, He is the author, and hallelujah. He is the author. When you look on the cover of this church, when you look on the cover of my life, it's not your name nor mine. It's His. He is the author. And I believe tonight, God wants to give us some of those blank page miracles. Someone wants to get me a song. I'm getting ready to close. I believe tonight with all of my heart that God has big plans in mind for this church. I believe that. That God has things He's desiring to do in this church. But I have felt impressed in my spirit today. We're going to go back to a personal thought in a moment. But as a body, can I just tell us tonight? Can I remind somebody that what God does next, we do not get say-so over? Oh, we like coming to church and having say-so. Well, I think this and I think that. Let's change. What God does next in this church, we don't get to tell Him what to do. We don't get to tell Him how to do it. All we get to do is say, "Do whatever you want." Hallelujah. And I can guarantee, can you think just on for a moment, if you would imagine with me your own life, can you think of a situation at some point in your life where if you would have had your way, looking back, it would have messed it all up. But you found out His way was much better. Is anybody, can you recall one at least tonight in your mind? His way. It's no different tonight. His way is still better. Can I say this as everyone stands? For this church and for our lives, I say this with all humility and due respect. Either He writes the next chapter, or there is no chapter. Either He does it, or it doesn't get done. Because He is the author. And if the pen is in His hand, He gets the say-so on how the story goes. Hallelujah. And if He is the author, He gets the say-so on how the story ends. He gets the say-so on the end of the book. Hallelujah. He gets the say-so on the last. Somebody in here tonight, you've been walking through some situations. You've been praying over some things. You've been looking for the promises of God to become a reality. And it would be real easy to overthink it and real easy to try to figure it out by yourself. But I'm calling on somebody tonight to bring our faith to the foot of the cross, to bring our blank pages to the Savior and say, "God, tonight I'm erasing my story. I'm erasing everything I think, and I'm going to say, here it is, God. Write your own version. Do whatever you want to do. Lead me, Lord, and I will follow. And to your way and to your will, I'll say, yes, Lord, yes." Is anybody willing tonight to say, "Lord, have your way in me. Would anyone raise your hand before we come pray and say, have your way in me, God. Whatever you want to do, however you want to do it, have your hallelujah. I'm inviting everyone who would. Come on, let's find us somewhere to pray tonight. And let's bring our blank pages to the Savior. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to work.
God is in the soul.